Okay, microphones on, and I have a microphone, so I feel obligated to thank you for supporting Love Inc. and just always keep Love Inc. in your mind and in your prayers. And also, Wednesday night Bible study, if I can just encourage you to just continue to come out. There's still empty seats, and we're just starting a new book about what it's like to be like Christ. I don't remember the exact name of the book, but to be, believe, act like Christ. And so that's just, that's what we need. That's what the whole bottom line is, you know. And then also on Monday nights, there's a men's group down at Love Inc., which some of you guys have been coming to. And whether men admit it or not, lives are a mess and in chaos and more than our hard-hearted pride will allow. And wives, you do want your husbands to get better, don't you? So set them down at Love Inc., 7 o'clock. And it's there's been about 15, 16, 17 of us at times. And it's just a place where we can just talk life over and get to the root of the issues. And so just keep that in mind. But as Pastor John asked me 2 Wednesdays ago if I'd be available today, normally most of the messages seldom have a title to them, but this one came pretty much like that. And the question is, how do we measure success? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And on so many levels, we can take a look at that question. You know, just two sentences into this message already, and we're already forming things in our mind of how we measure success. And so let's just take a look at a child. You know, a child, if they're accepted into their social group at kindergarten, they feel success. If they excel at sport or dance, or if they outperform anybody else in anything, they feel success, no matter how bizarre. A kid, how many Fruit Loops you can stuff in your mouth, you're better than everybody else. You're successful. You know, that's how kids think. But then we grow up a little bit. And now we're a teenager in senior high school, you know. And again, social status, you know, the same things that we measured younger, we kind of carry that along. So now, you know, whether or not you're a cheerleader, a jock, or if you're on the honor roll, or who you're dating, or how many you've dated is one way the guys measure whether or not you're successful. And then we go to adults, and then things continue to grow, and we often our self-centeredness, our homes, our vehicles, our salary. Our expensive toys, which get much more expensive than when we're a kid, our professions, financial portfolio, our extreme hobbies. We'll carve out time in our lives to do the most extreme things, and we say, well, we deserve it. It's my off time. I work this week. It's okay if I spend money on this and on that. We also weigh out our perception of ourselves versus our opinion of others. And we use that as a gauge of whether or not we're successful. But how about as a Christian? You know, is it our position in church, our responsibilities we've been given here, to maybe teach Sunday school if you're asked to speak? Maybe if people come to us throughout our work week and ask us God questions, does that mean that we've finally attained and become a successful Christian? Do we find ourselves preaching to the choir, surrounding ourselves with like church people and discussing the things of God and confirming things among ourselves, but never really going out and transferring that knowledge that we've got of God to those that truly, truly need it. Maybe it's in our homes, we have bookshelves full of all these books we've read. And you know, well, we really can't share this with that person that's in that problem until, you know, they read this book and attain the Gnostic knowledge, like the Bible says, you know, that we've attained now. Is that how we measure success? Maybe our families, you know, is it just because our kids are just a little bit better behaved than those other kids over there? But really, don't we as humans pretty much just compare our success to those around us? That's what we've learned as little kids, and it just seems like that grows and follows through, and somehow in our subconscious that we just do that. We just continue on. You know, so as we talk about this today, let's just come to the Lord in prayer and let's just delve into this just a little bit deeper. And Lord, we just come to you today, and Lord, you are an awesome God. And Lord, the songs that we sang here just lift our spirits up and just show us, Lord, what an awesome God you are and how you desire to interact in our lives. And Lord, how not that the word successful is really used in the Bible, but Lord, your principles are all through this. And so, Lord, we just ask you to guide our hearts and our minds today to just show us more about this subject and just open up our hearts and minds that we can take away from here and be encouraged and draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, Amen. As we compare ourselves to another, which is bottom line, pretty much what we do. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves by some that commend themselves. For they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." And that's pretty much what we do and how we measure success for the most part. Until we sit down and do a devotion or something, or church or Bible study, and then we'll say, "Oh yeah, yeah, you know, by God's standard, this is how we judge success." But our kind of human default is just kind of by judging ourselves against another. Right about here is where King Solomon would say, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, all is emptiness, all is nothingness." And really, isn't that what all of Ecclesiastes is really about? Solomon, the wisest man ever was, trying this, trying that. It said that he didn't leave anything untouched, that he tried to satisfy himself with everything. And at the end of it, he said, "All is emptiness, all is vanity." But as we dig into being an authentic Christian, there's something inside of us that really does and truly does want to know what it is to be successful in God's eyes. We want to know that our lives and our efforts are really making a difference. Proverbs 31 gives a lot of characteristics of what God desires in his daughters. That's a place where you can go and you can dig in and say, "I'm starting to see here what God wants in a female." Proverbs 22:29 says, "See thou a man diligent in his business, his workings, his doings. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men or insignificant men." There's something in there that we can start to measure out, and we can start to see whether or not that we're successful based on God's word. God does show us a measuring stick to measure by, and that measuring stick is his word and his stories and the stories that he has put into the Bible. Unfortunately, we often think that any forward movement that we're doing is equal to being a successful Christian. Here's kind of how I was as a new Christian. This video is kind of like me and my buddies. We just went through baptism. We just got saved and we're on our way, okay? So this is called a slow tractor race. If you go like the Power Union, they have a tractor race to see how slow you can go but still keep going. You're not allowed to touch the clutch, but you can pull the choke out and you can just do everything you can to hinder forward movement. And there we go, we're off and going. My brothers and I, we just got saved. Some of us were there only because our friends were saved and everything. And we're moving right along now, you know. We're serving God, and God, I'm going to get to that thing that you just told me about, but I'm still working on that thing you told me about 3 months ago. But Lord, I'm serving you, God. I'm serving you. I just need to learn more about you. And we're just hindering ourselves, and we're just seeing how slow we can go. This is how I was as a new Christian, you know. And then we come back here, and you can't tell, but that guy there is moving. He's just barely moving. Oh, Lord, if it's really you, Lord, just show me a sign. Show me a sign, Lord, and I'll serve you. Up there in the Cub Cadet, that's one of our Pentecostal friends, charismatic. He's been out in front all along, you know. But isn't that kind of how we do? Now, we don't have time to watch all this, but let's kind of go to the end here. And let's just kind of, here's the conclusion of this. Oh, Lord, I've drawn a line and I've stepped across it, Lord. I'm not going back. That's all the further he went in that whole time. In 4.5 minutes, that's all the further that guy went. But you know, that's just kind of how I was as a new Christian. Just forward movement, but I'm not going very far, you know, because really in my heart, I really didn't believe God. I was saved, but I didn't have anything to draw upon, you know. Was I successful then? Well, I wasn't headed to hell at that point, maybe, but I still had a whole lot more learning. I wasn't a whole lot of use for the kingdom at that point, now was I? So anyhow, I had another video of a very fast tractor then. It was modified. It was a renewed spirit, let's say. It had a turbo out the side, and he's running through the field and spinning the dirt flying, and we won't take time for that, but we'll go on to more important things. But God has more for us in our lives than that. He wants us to submit our lives to him so that we'll be of value to the kingdom of God for our remaining time here on earth. And we'll get that into in a minute. But I wanted to tell you kind of how this whole topic got stirred up inside of me about how do we measure success. Yesterday, we had dedication for the Shore House. We've been working on that for 3.5 years. a transformational housing program for Love in the Name of Christ. And so we've been working remodeling this house 3 1/3 years, and finally it's done, and it was dedicated to the Lord yesterday. But during that time, 2+ years, we were working on a program part of how to interact with the residents when we're in there. And one conversation in the middle of that is what prompted today's lesson, because we had a question of how will we measure success in this program? How will the local churches that hear about this measure the program's success to determine if they should join in and help? Because that program won't work if we don't have churches and mentors and people join in, church families join in. We've all tried in our own strength to do the right thing, and that's what it looked like, you know, earlier, the tractor race. We're just trying to do things on our own, and we run out of steam before we get anywhere near the end. And so we need a church family to lift us up, to encourage us, to be alongside, to teach us the godly principles in a loving way that we're going to get it without feeling overwhelmed and defeated before we even get started. Our goal in the transformational housing is disciplined followers, is in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And we're asking people to give up everything that they stand on that doesn't line up with God. Think about that a bit. A 3 to 6 month program, we're asking them to give up everything. It takes a lot of hours to select and interview and explain the program to the person, to call all the references, and to discern if this person is a candidate to be a resident, all before selecting a mentor and a home church and moving someone in. And once we move them in, then there's countless hours of talking with them and starting to hear more details of their story, and then trying to decide, okay, what's the first issues that we need to talk and address with here? What's the first God's word that we need to bring to them to show them that there's a better way than the way that they've been going on their own? There's weekly committee and mentor meetings, and then all the calls back and forth between all those parties to keep everybody on the same page and informed. All those hours just for one person, is that worth it? That's what we have to really come down to. That's how we're going to measure. Is it worth that much time and effort and energy for this one person? Well, many times in the Bible, Jesus left the multitude to go work with the one person that was in desperate need of him and that was willing. So yes, Jesus would say, yes, it is worth it, because relationship with somebody is how it's going to make a difference. Would those energies be better spent in a Bible study or something like that where there's more people? We ask all these questions to see if we're really being good stewards of our time and energies and our resources that God has given us. What if we go to all this trouble and the residents aren't completely honest with us? That's happened before. What if they just tell us what they think that we want to hear? What if they only half-heartedly do the things we ask, but they're doing it not out of wanting a heart change, they're doing it just to be there? What if they get tired of our meddling and leave the program before we think that they're ready to go? Does that mean the program is a failure? That was our question that day as we were discussing this program. And we said no, because we've planted seeds, we've done our part, we were the watchman on the wall, we sounded the alarm, we showed them that there's a better way. We showed them that God has answers to the problems that we're in the midst of. It has taken years for me to draw close to God, but in my impetulance, I want others to change immediately. Just because it makes sense to me now, I think that just like that, it ought to make sense to them. You know, isn't that pretty much how we are? It took us years, but yet we expect people to change like that. And we're bringing people in a 3 to 6 month program, and we're expecting great and mighty things, but yet it took us years and years of a slow tractor race to finally get to the place where, okay, God, I'm going to trust you a little bit on this now. Let me ask you how we measure success in our personal lives, in our spiritual lives. Let's say that we're just changed from who we were, that now we're sanctified, we're redeemed, we're moving towards God, and that we do have a relationship with him, and that we're really, really, truly, for the first time in our life, really trying to do what he wants us to do. We're really trying to obey that still small voice that we hear. Here's what usually happens. We seldom get the results we want. They're slower, harder, smaller than what we thought they were going to be. We start to measure ourselves by the results, our emotions, our feelings. And that's one of the ways that we measure out if we think we're being successful, even though that really has little to do with it. because we're doing things in God's word, and these are the things are slower, but we're still doing what God has called us to do. If we keep our eyes focused on the worldly results, we're not going to have the steam to run the race. So far this whole time, I haven't told you anything that you don't already know. Everything happens first in the spiritual realm, and then it happens in the worldly realm, the fleshy realm. So we're just going to focus on some of the spiritual part of things. We're just going to believe that the rest is going to follow. But yesterday at the open house for the Shore House, I spoke of some of the ways that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was in that remodel project at the Shore House. Just things, some of those were just thoughts in my mind that I thought a prayer to God. I didn't even speak it out of my lips, and God answered that prayer. And it did something in my heart that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was in the midst of that. I gave three examples yesterday of just little, seemingly insignificant things that some people would say it's a coincidence, but I know in my heart it was a God-cidence because it was just between God and I. That's prompted a lot of thought of how do we know that we are on the right track as we truly, diligently start to serve God. So here are some examples that we can see in God's word. Number one, Elijah asked for a double portion of what his teacher had. When Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, Elisha took the mantle and struck the waters, and they parted. Here's what I learned from that. He saw things happen that only God can do. Do we see things in our lives that only God can do? That's one way that we're going to be able to start measure success. If we see him doing things that we know, that was God, that was not human hand. We're going to know that God is in that. Number two, Elijah and the prophets of Baal. They said it's a 63-word prayer, and fire fell from heaven. After the prophets of Baal cried out all day and cut themselves and wailed and nothing happened. 63 words and poof, fire fell from heaven. It didn't rain at his word, but then it rained at his word. Here's what we learned. Elijah saw God direct him and work through him. Is God directing us? And do we see him working through us in the lives of others around us? That's one way we'll know that it's manifesting in our lives. Number three, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much. The parable of the talents. Do we see God giving us more kingdom resources because we have been faithful with the things he has already given us? That's one way we're going to know that we're on the right track. 1 Corinthians 16:9. A great door, effectual, was open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul saw doors and opportunities opening before him, and then he walked through them with a great boldness because he knew that God was in it. Do we take the opportunities that God is laying before us each week? We start out our week, and we wake up in the morning, and our minds think about God for a little bit, and then our minds transfer over to all the problems and stuff going on in our life. How are we going to fix this problem is where our minds go to. How are we going to get to where we think we need to be? And we start our routine and we start thinking down that path. But do we focus and keep our eyes? We know that God is what we need to fix his problems in our life many times. The big problems, there's things that we can't lay a hand to and fix. We know it's got to be God. But yet, if we keep our eyes focused on the opportunities that God gives us, when we start working and caring more about other people than we do our problems, God fixes our problems right before our very eyes. And once again, then we're back to number one. We see God working when we know that was God, because I didn't put the effort in it. I focused on the opportunities God laid before me, and I saw God fix my problem over here. Adversaries and attacks. Elijah called down fire from heaven, and in moments later, he's running from Jezebel. If we're not experiencing some rough water and some turbulence in our lives, is our Christianity of any threat to the enemy? That's not a comfortable one to hear, but if there's not something a little bit stirred up in your life at times, are we really doing anything to affect the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan? Are we really out there a threat to Satan that he says, I've got to do something to slow them down? Number six. Elisha prayed. He prayed, oh God, open my servant's eyes and let him see that they that are with us are more than they that are with them. The servant's eyes were opened, and he saw angels and chariots of fire all around the enemy. Elisha had seen those chariots before. Do we have faith experiences to draw from so that we can speak and act with that kind of boldness, that we can pray that kind of prayer because of the faith experiences that we've had in our life when we saw that God was faithful, and we could draw upon that to say, okay, here we go. I saw you do it before, God. I know you're capable. I know you want to do it. Lord, let's do it again. And right there, he taught somebody else, and he transferred, so to speak, his faith to that young man's faith, because then that young man experienced something that supernatural that he had never seen or experienced before. Every story in the Bible has something like that to show us of what it is to be successful. Some are through positive examples, and some are by showing us exactly what not to do. So we have to take it from both sides, and we can learn from every single story in the Bible of what to do and what not to do to be pleasing in God's eyes. But here's the sentence that had been leading up to all this thing right here. This was from a devotion back in January, and I made a little post on Facebook, and I just can't get this out of my mind because it's freeing when we really, really get this. God does the work of God, and man does the work of man. The work of man is faithfulness to what God has called him, and the work of God is the result. If we break that down into three parts, we can see the first part and the last part talks about God. God does the work of God, and the work of God is the result. So let's just let God be God. Let's let him do his God things, and let's focus on our part of this equation right here. The work of man is faithfulness to what God has called him. The work of man is faithfulness to what God has called him. As we read deeper into that, we see that we have to dig into that, and we have to find out what has God called us to do. That's going to require quiet time. That's going to require pushing those problems that are bearing down on us all the time out of our way, out of our mind, and we have to spend quiet time with God and say, God, what is it? What is it, God? What's the short-term things you got for me? What's the long-term things you got for me? What direction do you want me to head, God? We have to seek God. We have to submit ourselves to God before we can worry about resisting the devil and seeing things happen. We have to ask, what is it, God, that you want me to do? We have to seek it out, what he has called it. And then once he starts to show us little things and we start to see things like we spoke here, opportunities that lay before us, we need to step into those opportunities. And that is faithfulness to God. There's a song that just really, really encourages me. And if we can just start this now, but you know, we can only be successful Christians when we let God be God and when we concentrate on our part of being faithful to the calling he has called us. If we continue to focus on the worldly results, we're gonna end up tired, distraught, and we're gonna run out of steam. We're all leading lives that, are we leading lives that God is working through? Are we faithfully seeking him and his will for our lives with a diligence, or more like that slow tractor race kind of Christianity? Here we are just a month away from Easter. Have we already forgotten the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, the calling he has called us to? We are Matthew 28, Great Commission, called to work with the lost, the deceived, and the lied to people that God puts in our lives. Matters to me. They have free will just like we do, and it's a messy, tiring, thankless thing, and it wears us down because we think, when will they ever get it? But yet, how long did it take us to get it? Isn't that how those that invested in us felt? The same way as we feel now as we're trying to invest in other ones? So I just ask us today just to spend some quiet time, and if it come to the altar or whatever, but just to start to mull this over in our minds. And I want today to be an encouraging day for us. I want us to really think about, you know what, the problems and stuff in our lives here, that's gonna come. He told us it was. But we need to keep our focus on the calling that he has called us to. On us saying, I am gonna be faithful, God. I'm gonna be faithful in what you have, what you've put before me. Lord, this team seems too big. It seems too massive. I can't do this on my own, Lord. I need your help, and I need to help those other brothers and sisters around me to come do this.
Let's go out of here today determined to be faithful, because we have been called and we have been sent. So if we'll just spend a quiet time, a moment here with this song, and just think about where we really, really stand with God. And then if whoever will close. And Lord God, we just thank you for what you've done here in our lives. And Lord, we just ask you to just continue to encourage us, Lord. So someday when we are in heaven with the saints, that Lord, your name will be the name that we proclaim. That we will be telling stories, Lord, of the things that you've done in our life and the difference that has made. Lord, just give us a glimpse of the ripple effect that as we truly serve you in faithfulness, Lord, that can truly make in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.